pin him down before, but you might look that up. So when we talk to Yarbrough, you might tell Yarbrough that you believe that Texas can get this place of Hutchison's. They're really entitled to it. It doesn't have to go to them. President doesn't want to look like Texas getting too much, but you believe if he is real strong on it and they didn't have too much argument about district court that you could get to get his man Connolly on. He's been urging Connolly, and I'm for Connolly too, but let him take the lead on it a little bit. And tell him that I've got some obligations if we move Connolly up, but it might go to Singleton, it might go to Cooker, it might go to Jaworski. And let's kind of feel him out on those three.
All right.
My judgment is that probably Jaworski is best by reputation and Cooker is best by combination of everything because he's real humanitarian.
Yeah.
He got a crippled wife and he's a real
he's all right.
And a good boy, wonderful boy. And one that I'm obligated to most is Singleton. He's the weakest one of the three from the
yeah.
Character standpoint. Is old man Haney eligible for retirement down there?
I couldn't tell you without looking.
Get them to check that for me. I may ask him. I appointed him. I may ask him to retire in Houston some of these days.
All right.
Alan Haney.
Yes, I'll check that.
They can work just as well afterwards, can't they?
Sure, and there's no reason on earth. They all ought to retire at 70, in my judgment. They get paid just as much, and they can continue to work, and I don't know why they don't retire.
Well, I think we ought to tell our people that we hope that they'll do that when we appoint them. To these, everybody we appoint, I think you ought to tell them that the president wants to appoint them, but he wants the hopes that in light of some of the experiences he's had, that when they're 70, they can still get paid and still do it, and they won't throw their authority around. They'll let some other man take the place.
I've been fooling around with a statute which simply created a vacancy when somebody reached 70.
Well, let's do that. Let's send it up. Let's make it a part of the new society.
Yeah. The other one, Mr. President, and I won't keep you any longer, is, and I don't know what to do about it, is that Tony Celebrezze has had this interest in the Court of Appeals here in the District of Columbia.
And well, I...
He keeps asking me about it. Well, obviously, I can't do anything about it, because that's...
I didn't, he never has asked me about it. He told me one time that he might be interested in the court.
Yeah.
But I resented somebody in the White House putting out stuff firing him. I don't want to fire cabinet officers through the White House
And
through leaks. I want to call them in myself and say, I have a problem and here it is. Would you like to do this? But
that's the reason I can't make any move at all.
Well, I think you ought to tell him that you think the president... That you think the president deeply resents whoever's planted this, and I'll fire him if I can ever catch him, that Celebrezze is not going to serve in the new cabinet. That I don't want other people making that decision. I want to make it, and that I think that what he's done has been good and honorable and fair, and he's been a good cabinet officer, and I want to applaud people instead of criticize them in the press. That's number one. Number two, if he wants the judgeship, he'll tell the president that, and you think he'd be inclined to be sympathetic toward him because you have talked to him, and the president has a high opinion of him and has real gratitude for what he's done. And he thinks that he'd like to, all the jobs in the world that he'd like to have himself, if he had a license to practice law, would be a judge. I'd rather be a judge than anything. I'd like to be a judge, and I'd like to have all that security and that independence and not any of that damn great responsibility. They can do anything. They can be arrogant as hell. Get by with it. And I can't because there's 42 million watching me. And that if he's interested in it, you'll just tell the president next Monday when he's going to be back there.
All right.
And you don't know where it'll be or when or how, but he ought to let him know it.
All right.
Because the president is not disposed to take what he reads in the newspapers about his official family. And he resents any of them being pressured. I've thought some of my little clerks had wanted to put in somebody else that leaked this, and I can't find it. Now, on the merits of the case, I don't know what kind of lawyer he is. I think we ought to look into that and
I can't. The trouble, it's hard to look. We did look into that back when he was appointed secretary, because we talked to President Kennedy, wanted to find out something about him. So we pretended he was up for a judicial vacancy. And he got fairly high marks.
He delivers what I tell him to do and ask him to do, and he's cooperative, and he's given me no problems, and I know in this campaign that he was every place we needed him. He was in New York with the Italians, he was in Ohio, he was in Pennsylvania, he was in every damn place, and he did it without belly aching, and he worked for all of us as a team, and I sure do. I like him myself, and I like his wife.
Yeah, he's a good fella.
They tell me that bench there may need a slight balance from the standpoint of being a little bit leaning to protecting the criminal a little bit too much.
Oh, they protect him anymore. We're gonna make an economy for you by eliminating U.S. Attorney's office.
Well, that's what Abe and some of them say we ought to be a little careful.
I think you ought to be.
We ought to talk to him.
Appointments ought to be on the conservative side.
Maybe you ought to talk to Celebrezze a little bit about her problem.
Right.
Now, I want to give a little thought to a new chief police for the District of Columbia and clean up that town.
Yes, sir, I know that. You mentioned that to me.
Did you see that report the other day on the chief? With the women in the Alexandria and the whorehouse he's loitering around there in Washington?
Oh, yeah, well, I know that, yeah. That's an old...
Well, is it true?
Well, Murray's had a girl mistress around here for a long time. That's true.
Well, that's what the FBI says. Well, isn't that enough? Is that all we need?
I think so. He's going to retire anyhow, Mr. President, in the next few months.
All right, who is it? Let's get the best one in the nation. Let's figure out who he is, and then let's draft him. Let's try to make that a model city. Who selects him, the district commissioner?
District commissioner, yes.
Well, how do we tell him what we want done? I see the Washington Post trying to select a Briner for the appeals court, isn't it?
Oh, it keeps doing that, and I like Walter DeBriner, but he'd be exactly what that court doesn't need.
Well, why is the Post doing that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I like him, but I don't want Post selecting him.
Well, Post tried it today. I suppose it's easy to prove that he's not. But I wouldn't take that too seriously or worry too much.
Did you see this memo Hoover on to Moyers or somebody over to White House about the Waldron case?
No, but I did not see that. And,
well, you ought to. Now, my idea is that...
I knew something had gone over, and I asked him to present it to me in the morning.
My idea, I told Abe to tell you. He said that he had studied it, and he could see no law violation. The boy had violated it. He couldn't find any violation of law. I don't think he's a criminal person, and don't know what law he's violated. And we think, that, anyway, that we ought to be having detectives... throwing stuff in front of grand juries. We think that's a matter for the Attorney General or the lawyers involved and the appropriate people. So Abe's going to tell you that in the morning.
He did tell me that. He called me earlier, and I'm going to get it from the Bureau in the morning.
So I think you ought to get it and look at it. Now, we don't want to put him in penitentiary anymore than Walter Jenkins. He may have made some mistakes, and he's an unfortunate boy, and I really wanted him on the White House staff till the FBI came in with this report that he had this problem. And when he did, I just had to tell his employer that I'm sorry that he had this problem, and we couldn't have anybody around like that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put him in penitentiary because he's a victim of that kind of thing. Now, I'm never convinced, Nick, that Walter Jenkins hadn't been framed. Are you?
Well, I certainly wasn't at the outset, and I'm not totally, the only thing that makes me think that he was not, Mr. President, was his own attitude when he was interviewed about it.
Well, he is violent on that interview. You know that, don't you?
I've heard that since, yes.
And he's just violent with me, and I don't know whether he's conscious or so forth. Now, he says this to me. He said, I am an honest, truthful, conscientious person. And I am not going to say to a man that I did not do something when I don't know what I did. But I have never said to any human I did do something because I don't know that I did any such thing. And I believe that. I believe it just as much as I believe what you'd tell me. I believe it more than anybody tell me. And the chief police told a friend of mine tonight in Austin that I can take anyone in this town and give them more alcohol than they ought to have. And by a cop handling them the proper way, frame them on a morals charge. I can do it 98% of the people in Austin. I can do it in at least three different places.
Sure.
And the boy asked him, said, where? And two of them were bus stations. And it was odd. We were just, the subject came up. Two of them's a bus station, one of them's a university place, co-op at the University of Texas.
Yeah.
And there are two things that I think we ought to look into awfully carefully. I don't want to cause any more trouble. I don't want to question anybody. But Mrs. Galay says that her husband went to Washington to do this job on Walter Jenkins. That's what she tells associates in New York. He's the public relations director out of Tom Deegan's firm that went to the Republican National Committee, who called all these correspondents a week ahead of time before we ever knew it. And I told them that they ought to be looking at this blotter. So I think that we ought to look at that blotter awfully careful and quiz everybody carefully and see when they added this word pervert to that blotter in 59. Because it was never on there before.
Well, we can do something.
He's of the opinion that he was framed in 59.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're of the opinion that this guy, Choka, who works for the Army-Navy Club, where the Republican National Committee hangs out every day, and where Walter Jenkins was warned by somebody, we think from there, because we got all kinds of dope from him every week about what was going to be in their speeches, and it all worked out. And he was getting all this stuff. He was getting the leaks from the committee. We think that they called him that night while he was there, and he didn't answer the phone when he found out I wasn't calling, the White House wasn't calling. And we think somebody was trying to notify him he's being framed. We think when he walked out of there that Choco was waiting on him. He doesn't remember anything after he got his raincoat. He said if it hadn't been raining, he'd never gotten the problem. Hoover thought he had some Mickey Finns because the waiters were from the Army-Navy Club. But anyway, the tests show that his chemical makeup such that when he takes two martinis, he blacks out. They've given him a good many tests, the psychiatrists have, over the last month. And his secretary has been here for two or three days. She tells me this. That on one martini, he can remember what he's saying, but on two, well, he had three on an empty stomach with no lunch, no breakfast, and no dinner this particular night. So we think when he walked out of there, put his wife in the car, went back, got his raincoat, he came out and he met Choka. And they wound up in the YMCA, and there were four to five officers there waiting. It looks like an unusual number to me.
There were many more than there ought to have been.
I think those people ought to be interviewed very carefully and not just do it to... This is the highest level. This involves a Harding thing.
Yeah.
And we just got to get to the bottom of it if there's anything to it. I don't think it's ever going to save him or exonerate him or do anything about him. But if this happened, they won't know it. Now, Stu Udall's got that policeman over there that claimed that he was with him in the park during this hour. And we know from Mike Feldman and the others that Walter went with them, so he couldn't have been there. But we know that this policeman's best friend is a bodyguard for Goldwater and a former park captain.
Yes, he's the guy that was fired.
And we also know that the Hunts, you know, the FBI reports that the Dick Berlin, the Hearst organization, they hired this fellow Frasca, paid him $1,000 a week, and a vice president of General Motors did that, to come and spy on me for 7 months in Texas.